Dry Bones That Dream by Peter Robinson. Read by Neil Pearson. At 2:47 in the morning, the uniformed constable lifted the tape and waved Detective Chief Inspector Banks through the gate of Ardbeck Farm. Banks came to a halt in the bumpy farmyard next to a silver-grey BMW. To his left stood the squat, solid house with its walls of thick limestone. Ahead stood the barn. Some officers had gathered around its open doors, and they parted in silence to let him through. He noticed one young PC leaning against the wall, dribbling vomit onto his size 12s. Inside, the scene looked like a film set. Peter Darby, the police photographer, was busy videotaping. Meanwhile, a whey-faced young police surgeon, Dr. Burns, squatted, notebook in hand, by the grotesque shape on the floor. The body's position reminded Banks of Muslim prayer. Perhaps facing Mecca, the kneeling man bent forward, arms stretched out in front, bum in the air. But there was no forehead to touch the ground. Above the charcoal suit, the blood-soaked collar of the man's shirt protruded about an inch. After that, nothing but a dark, coagulated mess of bone and tissue spread out on the dirt like an oil stain. Shotgun wound, by the look of it. Patches of blood, bone, and brain stuck to the whitewashed stone walls in abstract expressionist patterns. Banks saw what looked like a fragment of skull sprouting a tuft of fair hair beside a rusty hoe. He felt the bile rise in his throat. He could still smell the gunpowder mixed with the stink of feces and the rancid raw meat smell of sudden violent death. "What time did the call come in?" he asked the PC beside him.
1:38, sir. PC Carstairs from Relton was first here. He's still puking out front.
Who's the victim?
Name's Keith Rothwell. He lived here.
Farmer?
Nay, sir. Some sort of accountant.
Banks turned his attention to the scene. The place had once been a large stone Yorkshire barn with double doors and a hayloft. Now, against the far wall, metal shelf units held antifreeze, wax polish, oily rags, screwdrivers, spanners, and other tools. But Rothwell had retained the rural look in the other half of his garage. He'd even hung old farm implements on the walls, a mucking rake, a hay knife, a draining scoop, all suitably rusted. And Banks tried to picture it here, the victim kneeling, perhaps praying for his life. Why had he submitted so easily? Not much choice, probably. You don't usually argue when someone's pointing a shotgun at you. He turned and left the barn. Outside, he met Detective Sergeant Philip Richmond and DC Susan Gay coming from round the back.
"Nothing out there, far as I can tell, sir,"
said Richmond, a large torch in his hand. "Anyone know what happened?"
"PC Carstairs spoke to the victim's wife when he first got here," said Susan. "Seems a couple of men were waiting when they got home. They took her husband out here and shot him. She's under sedation now, sir."
She held up a plastic bag. "I fished his wallet from his pocket. His name's..."
"Yeah, I know."
At that moment, Detective Superintendent Gristhorpe arrived. He limped from his car, took a quick look in the barn, questioned PC Carstairs, then, his usually ruddy, pockmarked face a little paler, joined Banks.
"Bloody hell, Alan."
Above them, the stars shone cold and bright like chips of ice on black velvet.
"Let's go in the house, shall we?"
The farmhouse was warm inside. It had been renovated according to the yuppie idea of rustic, with exposed beams and rough stone walls. The remains of a log fire glowed in the hearth. In front of it, two hard-backed chairs faced one another. One lay on its side, and its seat looked wet. Beside both lay coils of rope. Banks and Gristhorpe walked through into the ultra-modern kitchen, which looked like something from a colour supplement. Patterned tiles, microwave, oven, fridge.